Our title is Unveiled Faces from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Our primary text is verse 18, which says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit." The mention of the veil goes back to Exodus 33 and 34, where Moses, in response to the idolatry of the people, you may remember this is where they made the golden calf, and then Moses went up to Mount Sinai to speak with the Lord, to listen to the Lord and receive the Ten Commandments. And you may or may not remember that his face radiated the glory of God. It was so bright that people were afraid to get near him. And he would teach and say what God had said for him to say to the people. But there was one thing about that glory, that it was fading. And so in this text, the Bible talks about how after he spoke, well, he would cover his face, he would veil his face, but then he would veil his face so that they could not see that the glory was fading. And he's contrasting that fading glory with the ever-increasing glory that we are being transformed into as we behold the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14 it says, "And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And it is true that there's a day coming when there will be absolutely nothing to prevent us from radiating Jesus Christ, the glory of Jesus Christ. But there is a sense now in which we can do that now because we have plenty of glory to behold now. Plenty of glory to behold now. And so that's what he is talking about in this text. When we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness. Well, how do we begin to reflect the Lord's glory? It's interesting in this verse, that word reflect, that this translation, the NIV, translates the word reflect. Some other translations use the word behold. And as I was preparing for this message, I noticed that there was a major league scholarly debate on whether this word should read behold the Lord's glory or reflect the Lord's glory. Behold the Lord's glory or reflect the Lord's glory. And there are people a lot smarter than me who were debating that issue. At times when I read the Bible and I run across an issue like this, do you know what I do with it? I don't think it's either or, I think it's both and. Both and. How do you reflect what you haven't beheld? And I think he's talking here about both. That first we have to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, how do you do that? Any number of ways. Psalm 46:10 helps us with one way. You know it. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It is talking, I believe, about praising Him, about worshiping Him, about beholding Him, gazing upon Him, sensing His presence in a mighty way, so that we, as we behold Him, we in a sense reflect His glory. Imperfect though we may be, we reflect the glory of Christ. But in order for us to be good reflectors, we have to be good beholders. I fear that a lot of what goes on in most of our churches today has very little to do with real worship. I believe that we struggle sometimes to think that we are being transformed into the image of Christ, but the Bible says that we are being transformed into the image of Christ. We're not there yet. We're not going to arrive yet. But there should be a sense in which we are daily, hourly, weekly, monthly, yearly being transformed by beholding the glory of Jesus Christ and seeing Him. And so I think it's not either one or the other, it's both and. And I don't know how you do that or how you want to do that more, but I tell you, if you have not really sensed the presence of God as we come together to worship, or whether you're worshiping Him privately, and I hope you do, then chances are we're not very good at reflecting who He is and what He's like. And I think many times that's why we're not the best ambassadors that we could be, is because we haven't been beholding Him. This has nothing to do with performance in worship. Some people think the only time they worship is when they come to church. But even then, it's not worship. It's more like a performance. And the reason we know that is because people will say things like, I didn't get anything out of that. Had a lady call me from years ago. I was associate pastor in a church, and she knew me through another source, but she was a member of a church, and every Sunday she would call and do roast preacher. You know, just light him up. I didn't get anything out of that. And, you know, I tried to be kind. I tried to listen. But finally I had to say to her, you know what? It's not really something that you're supposed to get anything out of. We are not here to worship for us to get something. We are here for us to give something. And what we are here to give is honor and praise and worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do that, and nobody can stop you from doing that. Not the worst preacher, not the worst singer, not the worst choir. None of that has to do with whether or not you are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've noticed that if you worship the Lord Jesus Christ privately, when you come together for corporate worship, it makes a huge difference. But see, it's not like we're up here and you're judging us. While we were in Georgia this week, we had a little dancing contest. Yes, and I know I'm a Baptist preacher. But Lena and her daddy, our son Matt, and I were in the kitchen. And Lena loves to move. She just loves to move, and she loves to dance around. And so we had a little dancing contest, and Isaac was the judge, because Isaac doesn't like to do that kind of thing. He's a real Baptist. But so he was judging us as we were dancing, and I never won. I never won. I came in second one time. But anyway, I had a lot of fun with them doing it, and we were just cutting up and having a good time. But some people think that worship is like that, where you're the audience and you're judging how we've done. How did the choir do? How did the preacher do? How was this? How were the instrumentalists? How was this? That's not the idea of worship. The idea of worship is that we're in this together, and together we are seeking to honor the Lord. That's what we're seeking to do when we do this, is to honor the Lord. We're not here to praise people or criticize people so much. We're here to honor the Lord. True story. I read about it this week. It comes from something that probably is not real popular around here, Kentucky basketball. Not real popular around here. It may be a little bit more popular if I tell you that I found it in a book that was written in 2000, and it was a pastor in Kentucky who was there when Kentucky, 2 years before that book, so it was 1998. He didn't mention who it was or who was the coach or anything, but I looked it up after I read his reference to being at the celebration after they had won the national championship. Do you know who the coach was in 1998 when Kentucky won the national championship? It was Tubby Smith, who was the coach of the Memphis Tigers now. He didn't mention that in the book, but he said he learned a lesson from going to the celebration a few days after they won the championship. And I was interested when he said that. I thought, what could he have possibly learned about worship? And he said, the fans were so excited. They painted their faces. They wore silly hair. They were loud. They were boisterous. They got into it. Were the basketball players playing basketball? No. They weren't doing anything. He said, in fact, the celebration, a lot of them spoke, and they weren't very good speakers. It was pretty, really kind of dull. It really wasn't very good. It really wasn't very well done. But he said when the fans left there, none of them were going, you know, that wasn't well done. They didn't do a very good job. Those players can play ball, but they can't speak. That coach, I don't know. No, they weren't doing that. They were excited. They all left saying, this was great. Why? He said, because that was their purpose, was to honor the team. And they did that very well. And he said, we don't realize that when we come together, we are here to honor the Lord. That's what we're here for. And if we will gaze upon Him, if we will worship Him privately, I don't know what you do to worship the Lord. I'm going to tell you one thing that I do, and Judy does with me. We got for Christmas one of those Alexa things that I thought I would never want. We had asked for a CD player so we could play some CDs in the den. We have one in the bedroom, but we now have one in the den. But we got one of those Alexa things, and I really like it because even though it's a robot, it does everything I ask it to do. Unlike some people. And we paid the $9 extra, and we got unlimited music on that thing. And one of the things that we like to do is we have some favorite worship music that we like to play. That's not all I play. I will tell you that. I play a lot of stuff that I grew up listening to. But we worship using music at home. I worship in the car. Do you? I love to sing in the car when I'm by myself because I think I'm good. And nobody has to doubt me, you know. I got confidence. I'm a biblical singer. I make a joyful noise. Our son, Matt, is teaching me so much about prayer. We had a great conversation this week. And I just started to cry. Because his prayer life is so deep and it's so good. And I'm so proud of him. And he's teaching me how to behold the Lord. How to be still and quiet. And how to honor the Lord and behold him so that I can be a better reflector of him. In Exodus 33, before the radiating thing and all that, and Moses is talking to the Lord, he says, if you do not go with us, then don't send us away from here. If your presence is not with us, then don't send us away from here. And Moses got it. That it's about experiencing the presence of Christ. And far too often, we don't. We just go through motions. And so I pray that as we do this today, that we'll use it as an opportunity for us to draw closer to Christ and honor him, not just for shedding his blood and sacrificing his body, but just for who he is. The Psalms are great for that. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school, to praise him, to honor him. That's really what we're about. We're not here to lift up people. We're here to lift up Christ and him alone. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the fact that we have unveiled faces. Lord, as we extend your invitation today, I pray that whether privately or publicly, we would respond as best we know how to you.